So you were saying they're in a wetsuit. I'm assuming that is that a 5 mil wetsuit or?
Not all these guys are doing it in wetsuits,
Okay.
unfortunately. Unfortunately, we've got the girl who swam in the Irish Channel did it in a swimsuit.
Yeah, right.
The wetsuit people, there's a few brands out there. There's actually a brand that comes from Australia, who promote what would be deemed as a triathlon wet open water wetsuit. So it varies in in
Yep.
size, but also then has a buoyancy panel in the center of the chest and slightly down in towards the groin and across the lower back. And what that will do is just give you a better body position in the water, where across the shoulders and underneath the arms, it can go down to as low as 0.8 mil, which gives you the flexibility. But then you've got the buoyancy around the center core that allows you just to sit better in the water, and it just makes it easier for you to be able to carry on. They're more designed for triathlons, but you are finding now that people are coming saying, can I swim the length of a lock within a wetsuit?
So is the area you're working in, is that going to one day develop into an actual competition and records, or are there already records standing for like Loch Ness and the other lochs around?
Well, believe it or not, Helen was only 17th person ever to swim Loch Ness.
Right.
There's only been 56, I think, 57 that have swam Loch Lomond.
Right.
So the Loch Lomond, it's 9 hours, is the fastest. I'm not entirely sure what Loch Ness is.
Loch Lomond, you said, was 35 mile. Is that right?
Loch Lomond's 36K, so it's about
36
1.6
K. Sorry.
miles. Yeah, so that was 9 hours. I'm not entirely sure what Loch Ness is. The Irish Channel on Sunday of last week was broke by an Irish guy. I think it was 9 hours 57 minutes he swam
Wow, that's unreal. And to
it
think that there's that many people that are now looking for this, that you're able to set up your own sort of your own company to actually guide people on these swims and train them.
in.
It says a lot for the swimming industry as a whole that, people are just looking beyond, going down to the pool for a couple of easy laps. They're actually looking for these longer distance challenges.
It's interesting because if you speak to some of the companies that take to deal with stats and the reporting that they've got, there's actually less people participating in swimming in pools. But we are finding that they're coming outdoors and then what they're actually not competing, which is quite interesting because they don't like the word race. They prefer the word event. Which kind of gives it less of a connotation of that you're out there to be competitive and they want to go out and they actually want to enjoy what they see. If you can imagine swimming 21 miles down Loch Lomond, it's just sensational to look at. And there's something iconic about swimming in Loch Lomond and Loch Ness, just because of what they are. And people want to experience that, but don't want to have their head in the water and just knocking lumps out of themselves to ground around something.
I mean, I must admit, I think I'd probably much rather enjoy it in the boat as opposed to swimming Loch Ness. But
That was 11.8 degrees, and the highest it got was 14.2.
oh, that's unbelievable. I mean, where I live, we're lucky enough to have a dam close by, and I can water ski. And we went skiing in full wetsuits, and it was 11 degrees, and that was cold. But we're talking about 20 minutes on top of the water skiing, not actually 9 hours in the water.
Hello. It's a wee bit different.
So do your competitors have to bulk up on carbohydrates for the swim, or do they have an eating plan that they have to follow beforehand?
They would generally find their own pathway for bulking up. Ideally, what we suggest is that they should bulk up between 10 and 15 kilograms in weight, just to accommodate for the cold. And so it doesn't. And what you're finding is that if you look at how a swimmer comes across the water, and a girl who swam the Irish Channel, it was quite interesting because she's white South African, and you would swear blind that she came out as a different coloured person. And part of that is down to the subcutaneous fat layer that sits just below the skin and how that starts to insulate against the organs so that the body and the core doesn't drop too low in terms of core temperature, because that's how hypothermia sets in. The her body will actually change color. And Helen, who swam Ness, her whole shoulders changed color. And you could see it actually as she was swimming, you could see it coming down her arms as well. So ideally you want to kind of put quite a bit of weight on. So you find that they drink a lot of wine, which is always helpful. and kind of eat things. And then the eating plan that they have, again, that's a very personal thing. And each of the plans that we've had over the last few weeks have been so varied. So that they use a carbohydrate drink with lukewarm water, and that just helps with the absorption back into the bloodstream, so it has a better effect. And they'll either eat within the hour on 45 or 30, and depending on the frequency of their eating and drinking program will depend on how much they have of it. And then they'll generally have something, Jelly Babies, Swiss roll, or the girl who swam the Irish Channel, she was eating brown bread with Bovril, and that helps with the salt levels and just keeps the electrolytes in the body fairly balanced as they're swimming through. So yeah, it really is a very, very personal thing. We do give them some guidance and we do give them some help, but they have to go and try out things. And they have to do, if they're doing a solo swim, they have to do a 6 hour swim on their own, where they go out and they try, and I would be there as watching them. But the idea behind that is to give them an understanding about what settles within their stomach, what's good for them, what's bad for them, and then they can then start building up an eating plan from there.
Okay, so they don't just say, well, I'm gonna eat this, this, and this, this, and this. They've actually had to test out their eating plan before they tackle the bigger event.
Yeah,
Yeah, right.
definitely.
Okay. Well, I suppose on such a large swim, you would need, as you said, to eat every 45 minutes, and yeah, you'd burn through a lot of calories. So, yeah. So how much weight would a person normally lose on swimming, say, the length of Loch Ness or Loch Lomond?
They're probably not lose that much actually on the swim. It's probably after because of the because of what's happened, because the exposure to cold water and the energy consumption during the course of the swim. So the girl that swam the Irish Channel, she's still not recovered from it yet. She's only just done one swim, and that was only a couple of, I think she did 50 lengths or something, which is nothing compared to the fact she's just swam 35K. And she knows her body well, so she has to go through almost like a flu type symptom. Once she gets to the back end of that, and that's just the body just adapting to the fact it's now back on what would be generally normal land air temperatures. And she'll go through that, so she'll have cold sweats, but then be roasting inside. The other, and their kidneys go really cold, and the flanks of the back go really cold as well. And it's, you obviously have to allow that regulation to take place. And that's probably where they're starting to lose the weight again, is at the back end of the swim rather than the actual swim.
So there's a whole range of post event symptoms that can arise, I'm assuming.
So I've ventured into doing some cold water swimming. Not that it ever gets warm in Scotland, but the thing that I find is that if you, I'm probably spending about an hour in the water just now, relatively close to shore, and it's not because I'm not a good swimmer. It's just that I need a wee bit of security in my head to know that if anything happens, I can get back to shore. The thing that I find is that I'm in the water for an hour. I'm probably using double the amount of calories in that hour than I would if I spent it in the pool. But after it, I feel that I need to consume so much food, and it's just bringing me back up to where I was. And I think it has an effect. Different people have different types of effects. Other people go through really, really severe shaking, almost to the point of looking as if they've got hypothermia. And it's just a reaction to the way the body copes with being immersed into cold water for such a long period of time.
So do you find when when people get out, do you find a lot of people suffer, big sort of medical issues afterwards, or is it is normally most people get out and they do have those flu type symptoms for a couple of days or whatever and then they're fine, or do you have you had anybody that's had anything more traumatic than that?
I've not had anybody that's had anything more traumatic than mild hypothermia. We ran an event last year, just outside Stirling. It was a 5.85 kilometre swim, and one girl came out and said, "My hands and feet are really warm," which would suggest that that's hypothermia,
Right.
because the hands and the feet should be cold.
Yeah.
And then the second guy came out, he came out and his face was all swollen.
Okay.
And he, I mean, he was built like a pencil,
Right.
and but his face looked as if somebody had hit him about 10 times with Mike Tyson's boxing glove. So their core temperature had dropped to 35.8 degrees, both of them.
Ooh, that's not good.
Well, it's fine because that's just at a point where they're going to be coming. If it goes below 35, it becomes a bit more serious.
Yeah, right.
But that's just at a cusp of having the shakes, becoming slightly disorientated, not being able to have a good comprehension around conversation. But if it goes beyond that point, that's where it becomes serious. They become quite weak as they're coming out because they're lying horizontal for such a long period of time. They can become really weak. One of the other signs that they'll have as well is not being able to function properly. So they can't dress themselves. You have to dress them, having been out the water for such a long time. The reason that we do that is because they'll go quite slow, and to try and protect them against getting hypothermia. And the blood pressure will change as well because of being horizontal. And then they'll get into vertical. We try and get them to lie down quite quickly as well, at least on a kind of half-seated position with their legs up, so it reduces the blood flow. But that's just part of looking after them once they come out of the water. And after the girl that swam the Irish Channel, after about 6 hours, she was becoming a bit more normal again. Obviously, going through the whole, I've managed to achieve it and I've done it, and being quite quiet at the beginning, to then talking masses and just saying about how much we love doing it, right through to then becoming a wee bit quiet again. And that'll all happen. But again, that's an individual thing that'll happen to people, because a guy came out a woman, you would never know that he'd even swam.
Yeah, right. Because I assume, yeah, you'd have that after have done something like the Irish Channel where it's 34, 36K?
35K,
35K. Yeah, I'm assuming you've sort of had you'd swim that distance, you go, oh yes, thank God it's finished, and then after a little bit you go, oh wow, I've done it, woohoo, and adrenaline would sort of kick back in a little bit, and then the adrenaline would die off, so you'd go back down again. So that's really, really interesting what you're doing, mate. I'm really interested. That's great. No, that's fantastic. So your company more or less encompasses the whole thing from training right through to post-event, maintenance and looking after them and the full aspect. So do you get many, like you mentioned before, you get the lady from Switzerland coming over, do you get many international people coming in and those events, or?
I think what's happened is that when we originally started the company, the focus was pretty much on a local market. And there's a famous walk in Scotland called the West Highland Way, which goes from Ogye to Fort William. And I just approached a loch and said to them, "Can I come and swim in here?" And they kind of thought I was a bit mental. Maybe I was. And it was very much a local market of people. They didn't extend much beyond kind of 10, 15 miles. And then the following year, we were finding that people were traveling that little bit further. And then last year, we were getting people traveling a 100 mile round trip to come swimming with us.
Yeah, right.
And you're just thinking that's crazy, because they were only getting 2 hours. But the thing that they were very cautious of was the safety cover. So this is one thing that we pride ourselves on, is the not only the volume of safety cover, but I'm also a trainee for first aid, defibrillator, water safety management, and I'm a swimming coach. I've been lecturing in swimming courses now for 15 years. I'm a pool lifeguard, do all the courses as well. So I've got all the technical side of swimming, but also I've got all the safety side of swimming as well. And then what we're now finding is that people are now starting to catch on. When I was over in Ireland, I've been asked to go back to Ireland next year to help with a training camp. I was down in London at a training camp there, and I've been asked if I could maybe try and bring that camp up to Scotland, which is now going to start increasing our market position. And down to the success we've taken in the last 3 years, we've taken 10 swimmers down somewhere, whether it be a walk or a channel. Mm-hmm. That recognition now of the support mechanism, and we're getting great feedback from the attentiveness, the degree of what's the right word to use, the degree of care that we look after our swimmers has been so high that people are now starting to ask and coming across from different parts of the world now, which is what I'm really looking for. So that would be more probably into 2017.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going to find that we're getting this in the girl that's going to phone me this afternoon, hopefully. If she's not mad enough, she'll maybe do it in 2017. If she's mad, she'll probably try and do it this year before the season changes.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, I think it'll be 2017 before we really get to a point where we see that international market coming forward.
Yeah, because I know locally we have a very strong open water, which is mainly ocean water, swimming fraternity. And, I'm quite sure there's a lot of people that would love to be able to say, yeah, I swam the length of Loch Ness. At this stage, it's sort of, I dare say not many distance swimmers in Australia would have thought of that yet.
No.
But the idea of, let me put it this way. I'm not a distance swimmer. I have no intention of being a distance swimmer. But for me to walk back home into my local and say, yeah, I swam Loch Ness, that's a pretty good bragging right.
yeah, definitely, yeah.
So obviously it'd be a seasonal thing for you guys, is that right? Is it only set time of the year or does it go for longer?
We our season would start 22 weeks, which goes from the beginning of May to the back end of September.
Mm-hmm.
But we do encourage the kind of what I call the mentally vacant winter swimming. So we've swam in temperatures of 1.8 to 3.1 degrees.
Oh.
And we've potentially got this year our first ice mile swimmer wanting to come and do an event with us.
So an ice mile swimmer, what do you mean by an ice mile swimmer?
An ice mile has to be below 5 degrees.
Wow.
And it's without a wetsuit, and it's a pair of it's just a swimsuit, a pair of goggles, and a swim cap.
So are they able, like you see a lot of people that do the channel, they put put a covering over their skin. Do they have to do that as well, or?
Yeah, they can do that. again, that's a personal preference. They'll either put Vaseline on themselves or put a lanolin, which tends to help with it, better insulation, and they'll put it underneath their arms just to try and hopefully try and keep the core temperature a bit better across the course of the swim. So, yeah. But this will be, if this happens this year, this will be our first ice mile swim.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Like we have people like you've probably heard of the Bondi icebergs.
Yep.
Yep. Well, they're an ocean water, 50 metre ocean pool, but like I said, mm-hmm. 50 metres, as opposed to, temperature that's 1 to or less than 5 degrees, they're swimming in ocean temperature, which, won't get below, in Sydney, it probably won't get below 12 degrees. So for someone to be able to tackle that, then my hat's off to them, absolutely.
Yeah.
So that's incredible. Mm. So just starting to wind up a bit. So if someone was to think about it, doing a swim like this, what would you encourage them to do first? Like, where would they start, do you think, and how could they sort of, before they actually give you a ring and say, hey, Robert, I want to swim Loch Ness, What do you recommend they should do first? Anything in particular?
I think the first thing that I would encourage them to do is try and get as much exposure to cold water swimming as physically possible. Increase their pool time that they're in the water for over the winter, so that they're increasing their aerobic capacity over the winter period. As the seasons start to change, so it becomes summer again, or at least into spring, that what you start to do is where you may be swimming 5 or 6 sessions a week in the pool, that you start to adopt some of these sessions into cold water. So they're getting the exposure that they require, and that's what allows them to stay in the water for that period of time. The other thing that's quite useful is to have cold showers and cold baths, and just aim to reduce the temperature of that water over a period of time, because that will help again with the exposure. And as much as you can, just to try as regular as you can to get that exposure. As it gets closer to the actual swim time, what you have to do with the event or the solo swim might take place, what you have to do then is start doing double distances. So over a weekend, for example, you might find that a swimmer might do a 7 hour one day and then a 6 hour the next day. And that's just so that the body can get used to swimming for long periods of time. And where the body is definitely going to start to get tired, at least you know how it's going to get tired, and that feeding process would be going through that period of time as well. So it's always being looked after all the way through. And just to keep on as much regular fluid intake as you can, and also the food is to make sure that that's regulated, and try and experiment with different types of food, so that people get an understanding of how their body reacts to sugar and salt. And if you're swimming in the sea, what you have to do is make sure that you don't take on too much salt, because you may absorb salt, or you will definitely absorb salt back into the bloodstream because you're immersed in it for so many hours. It's just to watch that balance, because that can obviously upset you individually, and become quite nauseous as well. Hopefully that helps.
Yeah, that's great. So just finishing up, mate, if someone wanted to got into get in contact with you, what's the easiest way for them to find you?
Well, we've got a website called vigorevents.com. I'm also on LinkedIn and / RH Swim. You can make me contact through there. And it would probably be cheaper to do that than it is to try and phone us, or even just Skype, which is RH Swim as well. And we look forward to having some of you guys over here at some point in the future.
Yeah, I'd love to come and sit in the boat, mate, for sure.
Steer it for me.
Yeah, I'm happy to steer the boat. I've got a boat license. I'm more than happy to do that. Yeah, I don't think you'll be getting me in the water, though. All right.
Brilliant.
Well, I'll put all your details in the notes as well. So, but
Okay.
Robert, thank you very much for your time.
No problem.
Today, your time, night, my time. So.